Just get prepared. The songs today fit in perfectly with what I've got to say. Each song has a different element of what I'm speaking on. If you'd like, just watch, and as I go through what I've got to say, then see if you can fit in where those songs fitted in. Today's theme is the Titanic. That's what we're going to be looking at, clips of that film, and we're going to relate them to our Christian work. The Ship of Dreams, it was called. What's your dreams? What's your aspirations? Where do you see your future? Where's your ultimate destination that you're dreaming of? For Jack and Rose, they found love, they found romance in this film. But there are many films, and we go to films, don't we, to get away from reality, just to relax and forget what's going on. And some films are romantic, some are adventure, some are historical, and this film's got a bit of all of that. And the love aspect is what Jack and Rose found. But the reality, really, of that event, it wasn't romantic. It was horrific. When you think 1,552 people died on board the Titanic. Well, not on board. It was actually when it sank. But, and they died because of pride. The shipping owners wanted to be the fastest liner across the ocean. They wanted to break records. And they wanted everybody to wonder at what they'd built. And because of pride, that ship went down. That captain was forced to make errors he knew and make decisions he knew were wrong. And as a result, he went down with his ship. Could you have a look at the first clip?
Tell us, Rose.
It's been 84 years.
It's okay. Just try to remember anything, anything at all.
Do you want to hear this or not, Mr. Lovett? It's been 84 years, and I can still smell the fresh paint. The china had never been used. The sheets had never been slept in. Titanic was called the Ship of Dreams. And it was. It really was.
It doesn't look any bigger than the Mauritania.
You could be blasé about some things, Rose, but not about Titanic. It's over 100 feet longer than Mauritania, and far more luxurious.
Your daughter is far too difficult to impress, Ruth.
So this is the ship they say is unsinkable.
It is unsinkable. Sir. God himself could not sink this ship. What?
You have to check your baggage through the main terminal. It's round that way, sir.
I put my faith In you, good sir. Now kindly see my man.
Oh, yes, sir. My pleasure, sir, if I can do anything at all to make
yes.
Sure.
Right. All the trunks from that car there, 12 from here, and the safe to the parlor suite rooms B52, 54, 56.
Ladies, better hurry.
All third-class passengers, you here for health inspection. All third-class passengers, you here for health inspection.
Get up.
Welcome to Titanic.
It was the ship of dreams to everyone else. To me, it was a slave ship, taking me back to America in chains. Outwardly, I was everything a well-brought-up girl should be. Inside, I was screaming.
That clip starts off with Rose telling her story. Each one of us has a story to tell. Our stories are shaped through different circumstances, good and bad. But we all have a story. As Christians, we have a story to tell. You've got a story to tell when you first became a Christian. When you realized that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be, the Son of the living God, your salvation. You may find going out onto street corners or knocking on doors a daunting, something that I'm not going to be able to do. But you have a story to tell. A story that you can tell just quietly to your neighbour, to your friends. Another comment in that clip. Not even God could sink this ship, even if he wanted to. That was actually a statement made on May the 31st, 1911, by an employee of the White Star Line. They actually boasted that not even God could sink this ship. Yet 14 years earlier, in 1898, Morgan Robinson, an author, wrote a novel called Futility. He wrote the story of a British-made ship sailing the Atlantic to New York on its maiden voyage in the month of April. It struck an iceberg and went down with the loss of over half its passengers. And the reason was they didn't have enough lifeboats on board. Coincidence or prophetic warning? Don't mock God. God knows. He warned 14 years in advance because he knew the future. The journey was going fine until, like in the novel, Titanic hit an iceberg. And that's when everything started to change. We have clip two.
Most unfortunate, Captain.
Water, 14 feet above the keel in 10 minutes. In the 4P, in all three holds, and in boiler room 6.
That's right, sir.
When can we get underway, damn it?
That's 5 compartments. She can stay afloat with the first 4 compartments breached, but not 5. Not 5. As she goes down by the head, the water will spill over the tops of the bulkheads at E deck. From one to the next, back and back. There's no stopping it.
The pumps, if we open the doors...
The pumps buy you time, but minutes only. From this moment, no matter what we do, Titanic will founder.
But this ship can't sink.
She's made of iron, sir. I assure you, she can. And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
How much time?
An hour, 2 at most.
And how many aboard, Mr. Murdoch?
2,200 souls on board, sir.
Well, I believe you may get your headlines, Mr. Ismay.
The pumps will buy a little time only. How much time have we got left? How much time have we got left to tell people about Jesus? Once that bulkhead, that fifth bulkhead was breached and the water flooded into that boat, that ship was going down. For the human being, death is the point of no return. If you haven't entered a relationship with Jesus Christ by then, there's a point of no return. It took 2 hours and 40 minutes for the Titanic to sink. The average person would live for 50 minutes in the waters. The lifeboats could hold 70 people. There were 17 lifeboats on board. They could carry 1,100 people. And as we've heard, there were 2,200 on board. There were 400 empty places in the lifeboats. Just look around the church. How many empty places can you see? There's room for more people. There's room for more. Some boats were lowered with only 12 people on them. In the cliff, we hear that irrefutable fact. That ship would sink. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When I first heard that verse, I knew that was an irrefutable fact. Every person I knew, including myself, had done something wrong in their life. And the Bible, when we go our own way and don't live with God and according to his laws, that makes us a sinner. And there is no person I've ever met that I could say that of, that they hadn't sinned. It's an irrefutable fact. We are all sinners. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of the owner's folly and the captain's was the death of 1,522 people. The wages of sin is death. Those in the lifeboats who got into those lifeboats accepted salvation. And those people who thought they were on the unsinkable ship and stayed on deck, they were headed for death. On board the Titanic was a Baptist pastor called John Harper. And in his life, he'd nearly drowned 3 times. So he knew the fear of drowning. He knew what it meant. At 2.5, he fell down a well at the home, and his mum pulled him out and revived him. At 26, while swimming at the beach with his friends, he was swept out into the sea. And at 32, he was on a ship in the Mediterranean, which sprung a leak and sank. He knew the horror of drowning. John Harper called out on the Titanic, "Men, women, children, and the unsaved first." What did he mean by the unsaved? God is actively seeking a relationship with each one of us. He created this world and everything in it, and he created the human mankind to have a relationship with, to identify with, and to walk with. Yet we decided we'd go our own way. As I've mentioned before, we've all sinned. We all rebel against God and do our own thing rather than enter into a relationship with God. Because of that, we are spiritually dead. We spiritually died because we're made in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have a body, a mind, and a spirit. and our spirits are dead in a relationship to God. And God wants that relationship restored, but he knows we can't do it. We've messed up, but we can't put it right. Only God can. So he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who came and, as Carl has told us, died on a cross, shed his blood, took my sin, my guilt, and my shame upon himself. He took the blame. He took the blame for you as well, because he wants that relationship so badly. He's prepared to die and take the blame for me and you. But as Carl also said, he rose again to prove he had power over sin and death. Nothing could hold us back now from having a relationship with God, except for us. We've got to enter in to that relationship. We've got to give all that guilt, all that shame to Jesus, because he died in place of me. As you can see, I went right ahead of all my notes, so I'm just going to catch you up. There's room in the lifeboats. As on the Titanic, they weren't all full. The lifeboat of salvation will not be full until Jesus returns. And when he returns, that's when, for us, it will be too late. But there's still room, and the Christian has entered that salvation. So the question today is, are you still on the deck of a sinking ship? Or have you entered the lifeboat of salvation? The offer's there for you. In the film, there's an old couple, Israel and Isidore Strauss. The wife has a position in the lifeboats, but she decided she would stay with her husband, who she'd been married to, by looking at the couple, maybe 50, 60 years. She decided to stay with him and die with him, because the relationship she had on earth was more important than her relationship for God. What stops you from entering a relationship with Jesus? Is it your career, your family, wealth, your love of sport? All these things aren't bad unless they take the place of God. Put God first, and all these other things can be enjoyed to their fullest. Leave God out, and there's always an emptiness, no matter how much you achieve. In the film that was made in 1979, one of the survivors is brought onto the Carpathian, and a passenger on the Carpathian, a lady, is handing cups of tea out, and she says to a lady survivor, "It must have been God's will that you survived." Her reply in that film is, "There is no God. God went down with the Titanic." And the truth for that lady is, her God did go down with the Titanic. She put her trust in her wealth, her family, her possessions. She didn't put her trust in the God of heaven. So for her, the statement was true. Her God had gone down with the Titanic. But there is a God who lives, and there is a God who, through any tragedy, can take you through. And third clip.
You don't understand. If we go back, they'll swamp the boat. They'll pull us right down, I'm telling you.
Knock it off. You're scaring me.
Come on, girls. Grab an oar. Let's go.
Are you out of your mind? We're in the middle of the North Atlantic. Now, do you people want to live or do you want to die?
I don't understand a one of you. What's the matter with you? It's your men out there. There's plenty of room for more.
And there'll be one less on this boat. If you don't shut that hole in your face.
Oh,
this one. Yeah. Now bring in your oars over there and tie these two boats together as well. Now make sure that's tied up nice and tight. Right, listen to me, men, we have to go back.
Molly Brown cried out, "Go back for your loved ones. There's still time for our loved ones." About 3 years ago, I started praying for about half a dozen ladies and connected to this church. They attend the church, but their husbands don't. I'm still praying. I'd invite you to join me and carry on praying. I probably haven't mentioned it to those ladies just recently, but I have been praying because their menfolk are still out there. We need to pray and get those menfolk into this lifeboat of salvation. Who can we ask? We've tried and we've tried to tell people about their need for Jesus and they don't respond. We've all experienced that. We've all had that frustration. So who can we ask? We've just finished a series which gives us the answer. The only one who calls a person out of their sin and into a relationship with Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. No clever words from us. No emotional blackmail will work. A person will only respond to Jesus Christ if drawn by the Holy Spirit. And that is something else Carl said today. He read the Bible, which says, "I have called you. You did not come to me." The Holy Spirit is calling people. We've got to listen and we've got to understand where he's working and get involved. It's a phrase Ian used at the members' meeting. What's God saying and what are you going to do about it? What's God saying and what are you going to do about it? God loves us. Are you willing to call out to God for them? Are you willing to call out to God for your friends, your family, your neighbours, your work colleagues? Are you willing? Or are you comfortable in the lifeboat, like some of those women, knowing that you're saved? That sailor said, "We're not going to jeopardise ourselves to go back for the others." Are we acting like stowaways in our nice, comfortable churches while people pass by to a lost eternity? Are we worried that if we're swamped with lots of people coming in, the comfortable church that we know will change forever? We might not know people anymore. We won't have the closeness that we had when we were a small church. We've got to get out there and we've got to help those people. Can we have clip four, please?
Keep checking them. Keep looking. Is there any-
As I said at the beginning, it wasn't romantic. It was horrific. People outside are dead in their sin. As dead as those people there. After the ship sank, as depicted in the film, only one lifeboat went back. Only six people were saved from the water. Only six survivors were taken from the water. And as the officer said, if we'd only have gone back sooner, more would have been saved. As I said earlier, some churches are small in number, but are afraid to let anybody else in case it changes the way it's always been. People with sin who come in, they're not going to be like us. They're going to have problems that they've had in their past that they need to work through and to get through. And it won't be as comfortable. It may not even be as structured. But those people need our help because we know a Saviour who can make a difference. How much room do we have in our boat? Just read some eyewitness accounts. Eva Hart said, "The sound of people drowning is something I cannot describe to you, and neither can anyone else. It's the most dreadful sound, and there is a dreadful silence that follows it." Survivor Colonel Archibald Grace called this the most pathetic and horrible scene of all. "The piteous cries of those around us still ring in my ears, and I will remember them to my dying day." For the survivors, that was horrific. But what happens at the end of life? When the ship went down, that was the end for those people. What about at the end of our lives? People will be destined for eternity in hell if they have not accepted Jesus Christ. That's a real place. Jesus spoke of it. A place of regret and torment forever, separated from God. Horrific as those accounts of those survivors sounded, that is nothing to what awaits people who do not know Jesus. During the 50 minutes in the water, John Harper, the Baptist pastor, struggled to swim. He came across a man floating on a piece of wood, and he said to him, "Are you saved?" And the reply came, "No." Harper shouted to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." He then drifted away, and sometime later the current brought them back together. Again, John Harper said, "Are you saved?" And the man replied, "No." So again, he recited the verse from Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That Bible passage was John Harper's last words as he sank into the icy waters and death. That man was rescued by the SS Carpathian, and he did give his life to the Lord Jesus. With his dying breath, he led somebody to the Saviour. And John Harper wanted people to be saved from hell. It meant more to him than his own life. The White Star Line here in Liverpool put two boards up either side of the doorways of the main entrance. On one board was written, "Those known to be saved." And on the other board was, "Those known to be lost." John Harper was placed on the board those known to be lost. But in heaven, his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, those known to be saved. You can find them in Revelation 3:5, Revelation 20:15, and Revelation 21:27. Where's your name? Do you think that your case is unthinkable? Do you think that when you stand before God, you're going into heaven? Or do you think circumstances of life brought me to this place? God won't judge me. Do you think I've done good things all my life? I've not harmed anyone and I've helped people. Do you think that puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The Bible tells us it doesn't. The only way to get your name into that book is not through your works or not through anything you've done, but through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you, that he took the blame for you, and that he rose again with the power to forgive you. That's how you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. John Harper had a daughter of 8 years old. Her mother had died 2 years earlier in childbirth. It took great courage for him to put her in a lifeboat with a female relative, knowing that he would never see her again in this life. But he would when he gets to heaven. It took great courage. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've never asked him to come into your life and entered into a relationship with him, I know it takes great courage to stand or even come and stand in the figurative lifeboat and ask for Jesus to save your soul. I know that takes great courage, as does everybody in this church who's ever made a commitment to follow Jesus. At one point, they've stood up publicly and said, I need Jesus, either by coming to the front and asking to pray, to ask Jesus into your life, or by going through the waters of baptism, public declaration. So if today you're here and you know you've never made that commitment, I'd ask you, just come up and I will pray with you and lead you in a prayer. And if you really believe the words that are spoken, you will invite Jesus into your life. Now, there may be people here who in the past have made that commitment, but you know, really, I'm not really going the way I should. And I need to turn around right now and continue in my walk with the Saviour. Come up, we'll pray with you as well. And there may be others of you who've realised it's actually now time to get back in that lifeboat and get out there. I've got friends, I've got family, I've got neighbours and I've got work colleagues who don't know Jesus. I want to stand and I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and bring them into the lifeboat of salvation. Because for me, it's not about the Titanic going down, it's about the lifeboat. If you're not in that lifeboat, then you will die. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ and entered his lifeboat, you will spend eternity in hell. It's simple, it's a fact, and it's all in the Bible. Don't have to take my word for it. Just call out to God. Father God, we just thank you today that we know that Jesus Christ has died for us. We thank you that you've given us the opportunity to come before you and ask for salvation through Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray right now that if there's anybody in this room who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, that they will have the courage to stand up and ask, what must I do to be saved? The answer is simple. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I would urge anybody who wants that, just put your hands up and I will pray with you. There was a point in my life when I put my hand up because I knew at the age of 17 that I was a sinner, and unless I knew Jesus, I'd end up in hell. There are many people here who could tell you the same. Don't put it off for another day, because those people on Titanic were heading for a whole new world. The rich were going back to their wealth, and the poor were going for a new life, a new start. And they never got there. Don't put off today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Amen.